This is Master Griot Radio, Channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
My brain's piled on 2/3 a person. Rapings and beatings and suffering and worsened. Like human packages tied up in strings. Like rage can come from all these kinds of things. Like race founded on blatant denial. Greed, economics, subsistence, survival. Deafening silence and social control. Black rage is found in all wounds in the soul. When the dogs bite, when the bees sting, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember all these kinds of things, and then I don't fear so bad. Black race founded, fed us self-hatred, lies and abuse, while we waited and waited. Spiritual treason, this grid and its cages. Black rage is founded on these kinds of things. Black rage is founded on training and training, finding your freedom to stop your complaining, poisoning your
Peace and light, everybody. How are you? Thanks for joining us right here on the Master Griot Radio. Tonight, Beyond the Word with Sweet Franchise, and I got Acronym is joining us today. How y'all doing out there? It's been a minute. I tell you, we know we are so grateful. I want to shout out. I wanted to say hi to the people. Say hi to our engineer producer, Miss Jacqueline. Jacqueline, are you on the air, girl? She's always trying to be so quiet on me. I don't know what that's all about, everybody. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, for those of you who don't know, she is the founder of Hey, baby. Caught you off guard.
Hey,
she is a founder.
Myself.
I know that's right. A master grant in BBTA Radio. And we are just so grateful for this platform. She's probably going to stay quiet most of the night. So I just wanted to say hi to everyone and, you know, so they can hear your voice. She's the executive producer of the show and the engineer as well. So if you have any tracks that you're interested in, make sure you send it to us on Facebook. Jacqueline, anything you want to tell the people before we get started tonight?
Well, I just really want to let everybody know tonight. Tonight's show, we're talking about, you know, what's the vision for spoken word? We're going beyond the word. We know what it has done and has been, but the creativity of the word that the poets speak, if that could be manifested throughout the industry, what are the possibilities?
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. A lot of things going on in the industry, but we got a lot to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it was posted, is spoken word an area in which artists can actually control art? You know, in the music industry,
what? You
know, it's a big battle about who has control of the art. Is this an
That's
opportunity,
right.
an area that we can carve out where we actually have control?
Mm-hmm.
Our, you know, distribution and, you know, there are really opportunities and, you know, really things, you know, things for us to really envision. So,
well, we're going to talk,
you know,
about that because some things we're already touching base on. You and I as being pioneers in it. We're already touching base on some things, so we're going to share it with everybody. But part of that whole vision with spoken word actually starts with you too, Jacqueline, because you have always been one to create a platform so that we can dialogue and we can explore how this spoken word as a business, spoken word, the industry, and drive it forward. So we are so grateful for you, you being a visionary in that, and you've always been able to give us all a platform so that we can share ideas, share situations, and opportunities. So we're going to talk a lot about some good things that are coming on. I'm glad you have Acronym as our guest tonight because he is knowledgeable and, you know, in the Bay Area, and he has some good things to say. Before we interviewed him, talked a lot about some of the opportunities and openings in spoken word. So everybody, I hope you're joining in. Make sure you call in 646-716-7994 to join us or to call in and be a part of the conversation. We want to know, what do you imagine for spoken word? That's the question. Like, what do you imagine for spoken word? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So as I guess with the shadow, we want to keep, well, I can share some things that I want to say right now. Well, while we wait, I'm sorry, you might hear everybody. I have to do a disclosure tonight. I have a very gifted, two-year-old granddaughter who is watching Michael Jackson and The Wiz right now singing You Can't Win, which happens to be her favorite song. So she gets a little loud. I apologize. I will try to get her settled down and so that we won't have too many interruptions. But I thank you for your patience because, you know how this goes. We got to keep working no matter what is going on in our personal lives. And so I'm grateful to be here. And I thank you for your understanding and patience. So before we go to a commercial break, already said, we are going to be talking about untapped partnerships within the music industry that are open to spoken word. We're going to be talking about how spoken word is moving beyond just the public service announcements, how it's being used in commercials, creative entertainment campaigns, and leverage the internet of everything to produce new works and galvanize fan bases. We want to know, what do you imagine for spoken word? And let me tell you, we're going to start off with the hottest thing right now in the spoken word. We're going to tell you, I know that you all have taken the time out to check out The Beehive, Beyonce with Lemonade. I could only watch the first few minutes. I couldn't watch an entire hour of it, to be frank with you. But I will say it started off with spoken word with an artist that she used to write the poem at the beginning of the Lemonade visual album drop. And I was so excited because I know that that opens up markets for spoken word artists that were never to people, to young people, to a whole demographic that
really has not, probably has not experienced spoken word with music in that way. So I was excited for our industry in that regard because, you know, unfortunately, the Beehive, she has a cult following, and Chris K.P. Brown was doing some discussions on his Facebook page about it. And, you know, it is what it is. She dropped some poetry, so we gotta be thankful for that. And, you know, we got to see that as, you know, more people wanting to use spoken word on mainstream music, in mainstream music, you know. So that is, it's always an opportunity when you see things like that to know that your spoken word, when spoken word is reaching a larger market, is huge for us. It's huge for us because it also gives us some credibility. It gives them some validity, and it gives our gift value, monetary value, which, you know, which has always been the challenge with spoken word, where people don't value it as a gift and a craft as they do musicians and singers, and so they oftentimes don't want to pay for the gift. So it's awesome that to start off the Beehive, the only few minutes I could watch, I will try to, you know, digest it in segments. It's awesome when spoken word is used with music in front of a fan base that big, Like, you know, she breaks the internet when she drops anything. And, you know, having it be viewed on HBO, and even if you don't have HBO, this is the watch week, so you can actually watch it, which is how I watched it because I don't have HBO or any of those extra channels. I don't do any of that. I wouldn't do basic cable if I didn't have to right now for my internet service because it came out cheaper. But that's a sidebar. I digress. But let's get excited about that. Let's get excited about these opportunities, and let's identify them, help each other identify them, and help each other discern and discover opportunities for spoken word. That's what we're talking about tonight here on Master Greer Radio. We thank you so much for listening. I was prompted to say, I need to tell you about some things that's going on. Speaking of spoken word, I've been fortunate enough to create opportunities for myself and those around me through the creation of productions that include spoken word. Now, the challenge with that is, with what I do, is that what I do is more accepted in the music industry because we use music and poetry to tell a story, music and poetry and called soul opera. And with that, it's not your traditional open mic. It's not your traditional slam poetry event. It's not what most people expect when they think of poetry. So when they walk in, they see this huge stage in a music venue with live musicians. We have monologue, dialogue. We use, you know, poetry is intertwined in that with poetry and monologue as well as just straight, you know, poetry. It's a surprise to people. And then we have stories through songs and music, and we created this very unique platform that infuses spoken word in the fabric, and it's the main thread that holds it together. And a lot of people don't expect that. And so the only challenge with that for me is that in some of the spoken word circles, I'm not considered a poet anymore, which is strange to me, when I just felt that I was opening up and creating new platforms for spoken word and getting people to pay for it in a different way than we are used to. Getting people to pay for us to perform just as if they would pay for any other concert, any other, any other music talent, so to speak. And we just happen to have poetry and made sure that it's an integral part of our fabric, and it increased the value of what we do. So with that being said, I would just ask that you check out some YouTube under Suite Franchon. For those who don't know how to spell my name, it's SuiteFranchon. And I'm sorry, by the way, for those listening for the first time, thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Suite Franchon, and I'm glad to be here tonight. But you can find me on all social media, SUITEFRANCHON, Sweet Fran Sean. And we have video on YouTube. We have things always posting on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not doing Periscope as much. I find that since Facebook has live now, that I don't really want to do the Periscope thing. But we have some good stuff happening in this market, and we have some good things happening in the region, actually. So I'm always excited to hear what's going on in other regions. I know there's some good stuff happening in Texas right now, in the Bay Area with Acronym and some other folks that are really opening up the markets for spoken word in the area. So I applaud you, especially applaud my brothers, Either Poet MC and Chris K.P. Brown in Philadelphia, who are really creating some extraordinary events for spoken word. Oh, and a new person on the scene, my production assistant, J.R. Kyle Morris, he and his group are going out into Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and doing some wonderful work as well. So shout-outs to everyone who is moving it along. With that being said, I'll tell you a few events, how you can find my events. Again, it's Sweet Fran Sean or peacelovepoetry.us. I have the 29th this Friday, yay, the ultimate R&B 90s show. It's a concert where we are just going to jam out to the best 90s music, some of your favorite 90s groups, Brownstone, Drew Hill, Jodeci. You know, we got some things going on. And then May 7th, I have the Cooligans concert, which is funk and reggae. They'll be doing something on May 7th, and then June 23rd, we will have Peace, Love, and Poetry, the Soul Opera Edition. Heart to Heart is the theme this show. All these shows that we just mentioned are exclusively at the Queen Theater in Wilmington, Delaware. We are looking forward to being able to broadcast them live for those of you who cannot see it. So please follow us on all of our social media so you'll know how to tap into the live stream. Is that all right? Good. Well, thank you again so much for joining us tonight. We're going to take a quick break. We have a couple more minutes. We're going to bring Acronym on. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and finish out the show at 9:30. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please call in at 646-716-7994. You're listening to Master Greer Radio. This is Sweet Fran Sean, executive producer of the show, is Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and we are so grateful that you've joined us today. Acronym, hi, are you on the line? Thank you for calling in.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, all is well. Yes, I'm here, all is well, considering I have been in the bed for 3 days, so this is a good day to be up and about.
How are you? Yeah, I'm doing very well, just trying to be more creative and understanding the older you get. It's like you have to document your writing now. You know, mine's more about, you know, just making sure history keeps getting passed down. People mm-hmm. remember. People keep thinking and believe that we have an imagination that can create.
Right, right. That's absolutely so true. And so, you know, what we want to talk about tonight, we want to, you know, I have been fortunate enough to firsthand witness and even be involved, especially in my area, the evolution of spoken word, as Jacqueline so eloquently put it, that spoken word is moving beyond just public service announcements. You know, we are now seeing it in commercials, creative entertainment campaigns, leveraging the internet, and anything to produce new work and galvanize fan bases. We, you know, people are dropping spoken word problems, you know, hip-hop and spoken word go hand in hand. But one of the things that just happened yesterday, which I thought was phenomenal for spoken word, was that the Bee herself, Miss Beyonce, started off Lemonade with spoken word that was written by an artist, a fairly unknown artist probably until today. Until today, I got to find her name again. An unknown artist, which really helped put spoken word in front of a demographic that I'm sure, I'm pretty certain, are in a spoken word as we know it. And it really helps show spoken word in a mainstream light. What do you think about that?
I mean, it does. I feel like, you know, I believe it does, but I believe, like they say about the industry, just understanding the industry, how can you have an industry when nobody's being vocal enough to even network? You know, it's like, how can I say, it might be 10 colonels and 1,000 poets. How are we going to share these, you know what I'm saying? And that's how the industry is being fed. Knowing it, and they know it's a powerful art, because that art alone, just being involved in writing and in the school district, because this kid, you know, who didn't know how to read or was even scared to read publicly, and gave them a voice and a direction, and it helped their reading scores be better, their speaking skills be better. And I feel like, you know, it's in the industry, but for the profit of the corporation, because that's where brand new voices come in, you know, Youth Speaks, all these youth programs that are enhancing these kids' creativity for nothing, because, you know, most of these kids don't have a direction with poetry. Like if they're rapping, there's a direction, because, you know, there's so many visuals and so many directions and so much you can do just trying to be on the radio. But the same publication for poetry should be the same. But it's, well, if people love, I mean, I believe if people love poetry, we should have our own poetry network, own poetry radio station. Everything they did for hip hop, it should be right there for poetry, because there's a need for it. Because outside the United States, they look at the art as better. I mean, they take the art and they really listen. They really listen. Yeah.
But what I see it as is, I see it as an opportunity. I see it more as an opportunity for the mainstream to give the spoken word industry value. And I beg to differ just slightly, because there is an industry. It's just that it's a very independent underground industry still, unfortunately, as hip hop was for so long. And that what we need to recognize as spoken word artists is that we can take some of these very same platforms, and use spoken word and help the public, help it create value. Again, one of the venues, one of the flagship event that I started, Soul Opera, Telling Stories of Love and Life Using Poetry, Music, and Song, I decided not to wait for an event to take place or someone to create an event that I would like to enjoy that would encompass all the things that I enjoy, live music and poetry. And I created it, and it gave it value. And I'll be frank with you, when my shows went from $5 open mics, which is the mic and people coming up and doing, you know, speaking their hearts through spoken word, to creating a full production around spoken word and had to pay $20, there was some resistance at first. There was a lot of resistance, more from those in the spoken word, who do spoken word or in the spoken word genre, than those who do not. The majority of the folks that support my show are those who had no introduction to spoken word prior to seeing one of my shows. So I think as artists, we have to understand and recognize that this, a shout out to Warsan Shire is her name, who wrote the poem for Lemonade. She's a British-based poet. But anything that introduces or warms up a market for us, it doesn't mean that we have to buy into the corporate phenomenon, because most poets and independent artists want to remain independent, and there's a way to sustain yourself. But we can use some of these very same platforms to introduce our product. And I agree with you that there should be more of a collective. I agree with you that we're having all these youth-based events and such for poetry, that we should have be able to funnel them into other things, as did with hip-hop. But it's going to be up to us older, more mature, more experienced spoken word artists to be able to create those avenues and to be able to recognize that we have to have feeders from brave new poets into something else. And we have to make sure that we do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So tell me now, we know what the challenges are. We, you know, at being in the spoken word industry, we very clear acronym about what the challenges are and have been for quite some time. But let's talk about some possible, even if we just, money's not an issue, not being a collective is not an issue, just a brainstorming of sharing of our untapped opportunities and possible. Spoken word artists, what are some opportunities that we can see that's popping up or we can create, whether they've already popped up, such as in the Beehive, whether in movies we know they're created, you know what I mean?
Right.
What are some other partnerships and opportunities?
I believe most.
Franchon, I just wanted to pop in here before, just, you know, a little with acronym. Well, first I just wanted to say this probably is the biggest issue is the network. But I think some of it is that, again, you have to create the imagery. So acronym, you know, like being a leader, an acronym comes around and gives, like, some really good advice to different people. He's given it some to, like, award shows. He's come on the show, given some real strategic advice. But, you know, before you start to share acronym, share a little bit about you, what you do with your art form, and, you know, your relationship with the industry, and then, you know, share your vision, because, you know, you shared with me. And, I agree with Franchon that even if it's just five people, because Franchon is a person, I have experienced this, it doesn't matter with the poetry crowd. But long if you can get me in front of another crowd, they may not know anything about spoken word. But you get some good artists in front of them, you automatically sell them. So I feel like the challenge is for me as a master grill artist, as a marketing person, is to help change these linear perceptions. And that's why the show is so great. And, you know, acronym has some great vision too. But, you know, let everybody know a little bit about who you are.
Well, acronyms, I started off as a motivational speaker. I still do that to this day. I've been doing that for 20 years, and I've been doing spoken word for 17 years. And my experience, I feel like God put me in a position because I was a manager in the music industry. And understanding the music industry and trying to see if there was the same industry for poetry, and I seen there wasn't. But I felt like I was put in position to see, you know, from the packaging, the showing, the booking, and all that. And I seen nobody gave poetry no value because, you know, artists that are well-known that I spoke to also told me, you know, poetry, people treat it like a cheap art because they feel like they can get somebody from their neighborhood that could bring a crowd out. Versus an artist who's been doing it for like 10, 15 years, 20 years. And we had to try to break that mold because, like, me being a manager for so long, I used to book my cousin and my nephews for rap shows, and they're well known. And it used to just disturb me because they used to get like $3,500, $5,000 each per show. And all they're doing is playing their music in the background. So I feel like I was at a karaoke show. And I was like, and I see poets who put their heart out, you know, write, try to remember, you know, memorization, everything. And I seen there was more value to it. And me, that's why I took my craft the same way, because I thought it was just a release for me. You know, it's like when my cousins and everybody found out I was a poet and found out what I was doing, they're like, you're unique. You need to keep doing what you do. So I kept on doing it for my family and my friends and the people around me, not even knowing I was more than what it was. Because I started seeing the world, and when you are a performer and you're an artist and you become a worldly person, you start seeing the world in different eyes. I start seeing the world like poetry, like I tell you, there's a black world and there's a white world of poetry because people look at your poetry different. And I feel like, you know, when I do everything. You know, but I noticed, like, when I'm around a lot of people, it's, oh, that's acronyms, the poet. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. But it's like when I be getting booked, for what you would say, the white world, the cats who went to school for get a degree in poetry and all that, they'll call me a legend because nobody heard somebody who does acronyms or what I've done or how I think with the words or, you know, and they never really intrigued me, you know. And then when I started seeing the poetry world going in a different direction, like it was like there's a door, but there's no door. Like you were saying earlier, like you see it on PSA, movies, commercials, and all that. Yeah, they're commercializing it, but in what direction? Because, you know, every poet has their own rhythm, and I believe everything based off rhythm and sound. And that rhythm and sound creates a vibration. And what that vibration does, create change. But it always has to be humbling. But people don't get that. Some people do what they do. Some people do it, you know, do it another way. But it seems like it's always the same, you know. But, you know, people got to find their rhythm, you know. But, you know, you can ask me anything, you know. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's all good.
Yeah, I think that you're right. What happens is when you do things differently and new, as you do, which your name represents, that, you know, part of being a visionary is unfortunately we hit the brick walls. We hit the blocks and the closed doors. And that's what happens. And so now that you have, you know, what successes have you had in your area that you think will continue to move the industry spoken word forward?
I mean, to me, I think everybody just needs to work to be more of a collective. You know, community creates progress, and people got to understand community, communication, and unity creates unity. I believe social media has slowed down the process because, I mean, I'm not a Facebooker. I'll be online, but I feel like I like it how it was back in the days when a person would talk to you. Like my mom always says, it's always good to hear a strong soul than a silent text. You know? So, you know, that's where I'm at, you know. I just like working with people direct. You know, how do I feel where the industry is going? I mean, it's going places. It's only going how far away a person could take it. How can you take it? And where are you going to take it? You know.
I'd like to chime in there a little bit.
Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Yeah. Even though I'm not a poet as far as a performance poet, you know, ever since middle school I've taken extra credits in math and English. So, you know, I've always respected and loved the word. It's just, it's a couple things. While the internet in some way can depersonalize things, it does give access. Because the truth of the matter is that I work with young people. I've worked on the front lines. I see young people suffering. And in the rap, yes, they go after the rap. They want to be rappers. One, everybody's not talented and gifted. Everyone doesn't write. A lot of times the education level doesn't allow them to manipulate and understand it and make use of words like they can when, you know, and once they hear poets. And so, but if they can get on the internet, because their world may not be where a poet is around. I mean, I know kids in the projects. I was the marketing director for a home for boys. I've seen kids get killed, all those kind of things. But at the same time, I brought a CD, maybe popped it in the car, and somebody like Just Greg, whose flow is sick, spoken word, and it totally can change them, change their desire. You can see just what they didn't know was possible because they'd never heard.
Yeah, same thing happens when I play the twin poets for anybody, young people. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my thing is that, you know, if you really feel this is your calling, you're a vessel. You know, it's not just about you, but what it allows is, like, my whole thing about poets really recording is because, like, you're in the Bay Area. What if you know, Greg over in Philly got a message for you, but he may never do a show in front of you. So, you know, so we, you know, the internet is a gift. So everything comes back to intentions. So there is an education that needs to go be done amongst the poets in the community. One, they have to think something else is possible than other what has been done. And then, you know, with the right intention, and this is life. You know, when you have the right intention, you can manifest. Also, the internet and the independent movement allows you not to have to go mainstream. We can have the opportunity to define this industry. It doesn't have to look just like everything else, but it doesn't mean we can't interact with everything.
Right.
We can interact, but we can set, you know, what's the limitations in every industry that is. There's a way you interact with it. And this is the opportunity. We have the opportunity now to define that. Where we can be of service, still be fun. And, you know, commercial doesn't always mean bad.
See, right.
You know, it's bad if it's a bad intention. And I know this is, we could be just as up in a, you know, in a poetry setting and everybody, or I've seen just as many phony poets and poets who only get up there to do it for the adulation. So even though they're not commercial. So it's, you know, always about the person and the intent. So in the industry, this is what opportunities we had to shape. So go ahead, Franchise.
I just think we have. I think right now is a great, perfect time for opportunity. I think that, as you mentioned, part of this that this show was based tonight on Beyond the Word. I think that there's so many opportunities to. Technology, because things are available for us to get our art out there in various mediums. I mean, really, you could take one of your favorite quotes and put it on a T-shirt and start a T-shirt line with your words. You can create a greeting card line with your words. You can do that with little to no capital now. You can decide in your town to pull all the spoken, like they're doing it in Philly all the time, with all the spoken word artists come together and support each other's events as a collective. And they're educating each other on grant opportunities outside of just an open mic, how to get into school perform, how to use your spoken word, your art, as a literary initiative, so that you can go to schools and prisons and detention centers and group homes and things of that nature to assist and share. They are sharing with each other on how other corporate markets, like, for instance, one thing that most people don't know is that they don't see me perform individually a lot, because most of my individual performances are for organizations, women's organizations and events, private events, or for state government run and operated art councils and organizations. That's what I have created as my target market, because it fits my style. It fits what I do, and you know, I talk about social and environmental justice issues. I talk about disparity between the poor and the have and the have not. I talk about gaps, you know, how to bridge those gaps in some of on my other work. So I have that work, and that work has gotten me jobs with the Delaware History Museum, the Delaware History and Cultural blah blah blah, you know, the Pennsylvania Arts Council. So there's a lot of opportunities that way to work. I think that opens up to me so many opportunities to artists when you really – and they are already, as you mentioned earlier about collective, they're already starting to do that in Philly, realize that individually they weren't having much success. So now they're starting to support each other more collectively. Everybody has his or her own individual events, but they support it collectively. There are spin-offs from those open mics where people are producing plays with more, that's based more on spoken word. They're getting in the studio. They're taking Jacqueline's recommendation, and they're getting into the studio and getting real CDs done, mastered with great visual work. They're producing their own music videos with their spoken word. I mean, the good news is that I think this is a time where things are wide open. What now the disparity may be, in my opinion, is those of us who've been doing it a long time, reaching back and assisting and introducing the art form to younger folk and helping them maneuver through or create, you know, because unfortunately it's about creating. We have to help them create their own revenues to be sustainable spoken word artists and look for those opportunities. Whether it's commercialized or not is really not of the relevance, because if it's commercialized, it means it's reaching more people, which means that people are more aware, so that when you say you're a spoken word artist, it's not totally foreign to them in this country. It helps. I think it all helps in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's awesome that, you know, spoken word industry, as we're going to choose to call it, even if it's not considered such yet, the spoken word industry is reaching markets that are beyond its own underground, so to speak, grassroots demographic. No? Nobody got a comment? Did I say too much?
Nah, I was listening, you know. I was listening. You know.
Yes, I guess because I'm of the food of thought of creativity anyway, and I think spoken word artists are the most creative, most passionate, most socially conscious group of people that I know. I think that we can do it. We just cannot be tainted by our past. We can't be discouraged because, you know, the mainstream, of course, is going to want to take advantage of some of the opportunities, the spoken word opportunities. We can't be mad about that. But what we can be grateful for is that we are creators, and that Akron was absolutely right in that if we come together collectively and we create those things that we want to see, we will control the direction of the spoken word industry. We will control its growth, but we can't stagnate ourselves. We can't stagnate ourselves and think that everything's supposed to be as it always has been. I, for one, love to use hip-hop as a business model, as a model to duplicate or use as a template to do spoken word work. Why not? If, you know, there was a time where hip hop was just like what spoken word is. You know, we just did it in the parks and underground and for cheap or for free. You know what I mean? Yes, it doesn't have the depth that it once had, but as hip hop does, that means it doesn't have the depth that it once had. It's being watered down as always in any culture, there will always be a counterculture. So as it gets more watered down, there will be more conscious hip-hop artists coming out. And the same thing for spoken word. Even if some of it is watered down, there will always and will always remain those of us who are conscious, who are community-based, who are grassroots-based, who believe in the movement of spoken word and as a tool and an art form. I just think that that's just what it is. And we just got to know and understand that this is prime time, everybody. As spoken word artists, I just want you to sit down and think of five things that you can do right now that you have. What have you not seen that you wanted, that you wish was happening in spoken word, and do it. Get a group of your friends together and do it if you don't think you can do it yourself.
What, Franchon, I'd like to give a quick example.
Yes.
This is guy, right? His name is Acronym, and his son is this computer whiz. So the son's like, you know, Dad, you know, you got to use this. So what you can do is subscribe for your daily acronym, and you get it on your phone. Like the one I got on Friday says stop sign.
How do we subscribe? Real quick.
Acronym.
All you got to do is send your email and your number to my email, and then I send it. Because right now, acronym at yahoo.com.
Spell it.
AKRONEMS at yahoo.com.
Okay. Stop.
So my Friday acronym is stop sign. And that means start thinking of positive situations, inspiring growth naturally.
Hey, I love it.
Believing self, is to start thinking of self. Think, plan, then achieve. Any goal you choose to accomplish. In this life, there is no losers or failures. When you win or when you lose, it's a gain towards success. When you win, you achieve goals. When you lose, you gain experience to keep achieving goals you set for self. You are the inspiration for tomorrow's future. Love self into existence. You are worth, you are love, you are our ancestors of today and our unborn relatives of tomorrow. Acronyms.
All right, love it. Acronyms at yahoo.com if you want to sign up to get your daily acronym. And it sounds like motivational word of the day, too. Make sure you sign up at acronyms, AKRONEMS at yahoo.com. Is that correct?
AKRONEMS at yahoo.com.
Got it. We want to make sure that you sign up if you're listening today. It's always written. And again, that's awesome. I know that it's something I sign up for. I think it's called From the Universe, a daily thing like that. The thing to get it from a poet that's created acronyms, that's huge. That's something very new, very very ingenious. We're grateful to know that you do that. And I just signed up myself. We're excited about that acronym. Thank you so much for that. I mean, those are the things that we can do. We do a lot of Jacqueline, I'm so blessed to have her on my team, do a lot of brand building and making sure that we are creating and leaving our digital as well as our branding footprint. And she is a great resource for that, for those of you artists, poets specifically, who need some assistance in that area. Please make sure you reach out to Jacqueline as well. Again, it's all about, building your brand to get the message out that you want the public to know about yourself. I mean, as a spoken word artist, it's so many opportunities. For instance, I love, as you know, I love live music concerts. So I've been studying the great and the very popular festivals throughout the country that are focused probably on rock and roll and some other things. But I'm studying those because there is a way that I could use one of those as a template. Seems I find the one that might fit what I'm trying to do most, a template to start a spoken word festival and to have one that not just artists who spoken word artists, but people will come just because they like quality, good art, right? And you don't have to know poetry to attend. But, I would say, since we're talking about beyond the word right now, is that look at and study other markets, other platforms, other things outside of our so-called industry that you think that you can use as a template or to adapt for the business of spoken word or for what you're trying to. Don't sing for my mom right now. You can sing for my mom in a minute. she wants to sing a lion now from the Wiz. So it could be worse. At least it's for the Wiz. Least it's the Wiz, girl, the 1978 version, nonetheless. Hello? Yes, thank you. It's her favorite. It could be something else. You know what I'm saying? It could be something else, but it is the Wiz, so my mom is happy. So,
well, you know, when you're talking about festivals and spoken word and out the box, and this is another thing where Fran Shana said, not other, just study other platforms, but also study other markets. Spoken word, like most music, is regional. So, like, you may know your region, but each region has its rhythms, and each region has its artists. And so now, if you're going down to Atlanta, you have Georgia Me. She does a phenomenal festival every year. I think her name is Tammy, whatnot, but she does a really great festival. You know, that's growing and growing. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, look at those other things and then look at opportunities for collaboration. Because sometimes what it is, you like, kind of people get stuck in their region. So now here's an opportunity to collaborate. Hey, we could collaborate and maybe we work out and we do it in our region, which gets those artists into another region, but get our artists into another region. We, you know, you get to cross-promote. And, you know, those are definitely, you know, strategic because there are things and I mean, I really do agree with acronym. We have to come together as a community.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think we're all going to come together all at once because from a survey I did in 2006, as creative as people can be with the word, their vision is not there. And I have learned most people aren't visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a few people that are actually visionaries. And spoken word has been fed so much. People believe that scarcity. And so the industry, if they even define themselves as an industry, the artists operate, for so many years, has been operating on the level of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
true.
In the Harlem Renaissance time, they didn't do that. But I don't know if it came after the 60s or the 70s, when it hit the 80s, this idea of scarcity. Like only certain people can be and only so many can be.
Right.
And so that scarcity mindset is like, I want to make it and I don't want to bring anybody with me because it's only so many places for spoken word. I want to, like, change it because y'all think I'm probably stupid, crazy, whatever, if I start talking about my vision for spoken word. And I've been having this vision since 2006 and nobody has touched it, not on TV or anything. I mean, I think, you know, love creativities aren't even near, and you know, and I talked to Fran Shana about it. But what it is what, you know, people don't understand, the whole thing opening up with Beyonce, you know, what that means is people are looking for opportunities. They like spoken word. But most people only have linear visions of what, you know, linear perceptions of spoken word. They generally think it's like one or two ways. But spoken word can be jazz, rock, hip-hop, neo-soul, soul. And the word can stand alone.
Right.
You know, but most people think of spoken word and they're going to think of a jazzy neo-soul rhythm. That is the typical thought of how people see spoken word. So it's up to us to show and represent other opportunities. So right now people are showing, hey, we're willing. OWN runs this commercial all the time, a hair commercial. A woman comes on, does spoken word. You know, Verizon did a little bit. They did Jay Ivy, another female. Aspire TV is just all about the arts. So spoken word is, you know, incorporated anyway. Now, some Aspire TV, their campaign, I Aspire to Be, TV One now has picked it up. And they got change agents. And so right there, that's a minimum of three stations that's using spoken word, you know, outside of the typical norm, and they're consistently using it. And then you have Beyonce come out with her Lemonade. So now it's up to us to say, hey, it can also be used like this. Hey, you never thought about this.
Yeah, and reach out to those artists that you know already so that you can have and say, let me drop something. What beat you got? Work with some producers, you know?
And, you know, and social media, not just that, but, you know, you have access to just as many Beyoncés and Aspire TVs and Oprah and Ayanna and, you know, hey, share.
Uh-huh.
You never know. We don't, you know, have to be scared to share. And I think if, you know, the people within the industry get creative and don't think you have to stay in a mold, because you don't.
You don't. You don't have to stay in a mold, and don't get upset with people who don't stay in a mold, you know, because you think that they are breaking tradition or anything like that. That happens occasionally, too, in our market. So we got to make sure that we continue to support each other. Like I said, I think that, you know, we probably have to have a part two to this, Jacqueline.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We have to have a part two to this because it was so much, and I'm sure Akron was a little quiet today, but I'm sure he's going to think about it and have much more to say about untapped partnerships, et cetera.
Acronym, go ahead.
Hello. I was listening to you talk. So, you know, it's not a problem, you know. I was always taught let a woman speak, you know.
Well, I give thanks. I thank you, Zach, for being such a kind gentleman. And I get so passionate about that. I apologize if I seem to go on a longer than intended tonight. So I think we should have a part two to this. I think that we should continue the dialogue. I think that what I can come up with for the next show is, you know, we can do, again, some brainstorming and some listing of things in both the Bay Area, the East Coast, some other things that we can help some people tap into. I think that we just really scratched the surface tonight. I think that there are lots of work. There's a lot of new works that we can do. There's a lot of ways that we can galvanize and move forward the spoken word, our work as spoken word artists. So everyone, you know, we're coming to a close right now. We just want to say, you know, make sure you check out mastergridradio.com and let us know, let Jacqueline know, let us know, let our producer know and our founder know what ways do you think that we can help spoken word artists tap into the opportunities in his or her region or throughout the country or even internationally. What are some of the questions that you have as a spoken word artist, whether you have a youth group that you're trying to help move forward, as Acronym talked about a little bit earlier, whether you have been in the spoken word game for a long time and you want to formalize and brand yourself a specific way, whether you're just trying to figure out what other, maybe you should shift your target market. Maybe instead of doing open mics, you should, you know, I straight up look for all jazz festivals because my style is accepted among the jazz circles. So those are the markets I specifically look for. I have determined where I feel most comfortable, where I think I'm best received, and where I think I perform the best. And those are the markets that I seek out. And I don't limit myself to traditional spoken word tracks and markets and opportunities. And so I'm going to just ask you to do the same until we meet again. Think about that, to send in your inquiries, to make sure that you email acronym@yahoo.com to sign up for his daily acronym, and that you reach out to us and let us know what you're thinking. We really, really thank you for listening today. Don't forget you can find all things that I'm doing. I'm Free Franchon on social media or at www.peacelovepoetry.us. Make sure you check out Jacqueline on Master Griot Radio on Facebook as well as online at www.mastergriotradio.com. And Acronym, tell us one more time, darling, how everybody can find you and reach out to you.
Well, if you want to add, you can add me to your daily acronyms, acronyms@yahoo.com. You can add me on Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias is still spelled the same way. Acronyms is only one.
Well, like I said, thank you everybody else for joining us. You want to say goodbye to the people?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you.
Yeah, maybe Eric and them you can roll out for, you can give us something to roll out with, give us some inspiration. But Franchon, what about the next time we do Beyond the Word? What about if we have people representing award shows? We got, you know, 1,000, you know, poetry awards. And then ask everybody to come in and, like, see if we can do a campaign to ask people to actually just, you know, shout out or recognize or talk about a poet and talk about a piece. You know, I nominate this poet in their piece. But the challenge is, you know, so we get everybody to recognize and for them to put it up. But you can't vote for anybody in your region.
Oh,
but you can nominate
that's
people.
And that's a challenge. Okay.
Yeah, you know, but we need to nominate. Because, see, we don't know if people don't share.
True.
And so we got to have you on, Acronym, because you got to let us know what's happening in the Bay Area. We know the Bay Area. When you talk about art, art in the Bay Area are, like, almost synonymous.
True.
Oh, yeah, must be. But, you know, it's like the generations got to start working together again. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like you said, clickish. People be clickish, and it's bigger than being clickish. He's like, I'm cool with everybody, but everybody ain't cool. That's what's weird. You know.
But that's what's so great about the internet. It allows me to be in Philly, Franchon to be in Delaware, you to be in the Bay Area, but for us still to connect and vibe and produce.
Oh, yeah, most
definitely.
So
I just want to ask everybody one thing. Start following the hashtag brand story. This has been my passion to get businesses to develop a brand story, and I am going to, like, formalize this, and my first showcase we're going to follow is Sweet Franchon. So you will see the hashtag brand story. I'm, you know, doing posting around it, but we're going to see Sweet Franchon. We're going to develop, you know, brand. I mean, she already has it, so it's really just like, you know, really articulating it easily for people to have a thought. But we want to, you know, hurry up and we're going to develop that story. So, you know, just think, if you think of the Godfather, because sometimes Franchon talks so much, do so many shows, her voice can get raspy. So if you think of the Godfather, just start thinking the producer. She's the producer. She got about 5 shows this week. But she is a producer. So, you know, we're going to do some fun things around that. But just follow Brain Story.
Okay.
Close this out, sir.
Yes, mister. You want me to close it out?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't expecting to perform, man. All right, I'll give you some of this in and out, because I haven't did nothing in a while. So my style is very—I like doing this one. This is like get people just knowing that it's easy for me, but some people say it's kind of hard. But I like doing one-letter word poems. But this is where I'm from. I'm a valiant Vallejo Valley, vigilante, vocalist, vindicating victims, violated by villains, vagrants, and vagabonds. Victimizing vibrant people, vulnerable to verbal violence, viewing life as vicious, valueless, and vague. View my visions vocally at any venue. And see, sometimes I like stopping in between my pieces because some people don't even know what an acronym is. But if you know how to spell, when you look at the word venue, venue will tell you I'm vocally exercising natural, useful energy with my valuable, versatile vocabulary validating victory. And what is victory? Vocally injecting conscious thoughts only reflecting you and V. Vacating variety of verses, vanishing vengeance, vendettas, and feminist vixens. Violating my vantage, voyaging valet VIP, very important poet. Viewing our voice, verbs, vows, and viewpoints that vetoes violence as well as vain violators venting negative energy. You see, this gift I've been blessed with is very vital vocally and vintage like Van Gogh. And I definitely Van Gogh. Look at the word paint pictures. It tells you what I do. Poets always inject new thoughts, projecting insight, capturing truth, using real experiences spiritually. As a veteran voyaging over various voids, overcoming any obstacle, to let you know I'm a veteran from the Valley Joe of the V, the 22nd letter. Thank you.
All right. Everyone, peace and love. And Franchine sends her peace and love. She had an international call to pick up. So peace, love, and poetry, and we'll see you next month.